This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When are we going to hear from Muji, by the way? We do the same thing tomorrow with Muji, maybe?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. Should be. We'll get it for you. Listen, he's going to speak, so provided it's during the hours of our show, we'll definitely pump it in.
And it'll be fun to compare and contrast to how Joe Shane sounds and the difference there. All right, let's listen to Joe Shane talking about taking risks on guys in the NFL draft.
The issue doesn't change, whatever it is, depending on what it is. Now, it could if it's medical. So if this guy has a, you know, is coming off a shoulder surgery, he's not going to be ready till October. You drop that player a little bit since you're not going to get him till week 8. That's going to get better. If a guy's not very smart or can't do something that you're going to ask him to do, or there's something that's not going to get better that maybe you're not comfortable with, maybe it's the kid has some background issues or something like that. If you drop him and say, okay, we can't pass on this guy, the issues are still the issues. So that's what we're wrestling with, depending on what the issue is and the support system and ecosystem that we have in place here with player development and the coaching staff and in the locker room. Can we handle a player with maybe an off-field issue, or maybe they're immature, or you know, whatever it may be? We're weighing the pros and cons, and you know, can we fix what you know may cause them to fall? Is the risk worth the reward? And then you know, is that what we want to bring in our locker room?
I like that. I think that was pretty good. I mean, that's some real stuff right there, because there are a lot of situations that we might not necessarily get wind of, and you got to understand this. I know you do, but I'm telling everybody else out there. Like when you are looking at a college kid, you are digging so deeply into his personal life and the determination of whether it's an intelligence to handle the playbook, whether it's a maturity, whether it's some real off the field things that you think if they're not addressed now can turn into criminal activity. There might already be criminal activity. Like it's a deep dive.
I think it's hard to know what players are going to turn into, but easier if you have track record already. Meaning if there's a pat, like there's no guarantee that you could draft a guy that has no track record of bad behavior before that he's going to be clean moving forward.
True.
However, if there is somebody that, and there's no guarantee the other way either, but you know your risks if you're getting involved with somebody with character issues. We've seen the Giants and Dave Gettleman specifically get burnt on this recently. If a guy's got character issues going in, mm-hmm. I think it's a little foolish to believe that you can change him and sell out for the talent. Although we've seen it work the other way around. Randy Moss years ago, Warren Sapp, Larry Tunsil.
Yeah, good examples. I think it really depends on, now, the use of the word, the ecosystem. Come on. Some of these words just drive me insane. I know what he means, but come on. Just speak like a human, yeah, ecosystem. But I do think that there are certain organizations that have such great confidence in their ability to take somebody that's got a checkered past in whatever area it might be and provide them with, you know, whether it's a veteran, especially now football's a little, it's a big locker room. Like if you're an NBA team and you've got like the like let's say Draymond out there or Brunson type here, you draft a kid who's a little spotty, you could probably protect him maybe more and watch after him and maybe accelerate his growth. And some teams are very good at that, and some teams are very bad at that. So I think it depends your level of confidence in yourself.
I like talent, right, like most people. However, after seeing many guys get burnt, think about with Belichick, with Aaron Hernandez, and you're thinking it's Bill Belichick, and he's thinking, I don't care what the issues are because I know this guy's going to be a great player. And he was. He also turned out to be a murderer. So there are different variations of who thinks that they can handle certain characters and what complications there are. Smoking weed or whatever, like Laramie Tunsil, whatever he was doing with
him. Oh, God.
Like, is that the end of the world or whatever Warren Sapp issues were? Okay, but compared
that
to...
That mask was ridiculous that he was rocking, though.
Atlanta, after being burnt by Vic, they made a clear draw line. I don't care how talented you are. We are drafting high character guys.
Yeah.
And I respect that, but I also know that there could be limitations there. You're potentially going to miss out on a player that is highly talented, but you know you don't have to worry about the character issues. I could understand for an organization getting burnt like that for doing that. Me personally, I wouldn't touch the guys with the character. Significant. I'm not talking about the mask like Tunsil.
No, I know what you're saying.
I'm like talking about significant.
Domestic violence issues or real criminal deep crime. No, I got you. Not just doing something stupid, you know, with the weed, whatever it might be. I think that you also really take the cue from ownership. If you've got conservative ownership, politics, in terms of an appetite for what they will tolerate. Like, take Davis out there with the Raiders. His dad was one way, and, you know, Mark Davis is, you know, you wish he was as good as his dad, Raider fans are saying. But, you know, he was more of that cavalier, renegade type. And I would think that Mark, being around that as a kid, was more open to rolling the dice on that, where... The Maras historically conservative with that as well. The Steinbrenner is a little conservative with that as well. Whereas Dolan, you know, say, hey, we'll take Sprewell. We'll see what happens with that. We can throw a flyer on that. I think it depends on the appetite of ownership.
Jerry Jones and John Mara are two totally different owners. All right, let's listen to one more from Joe Shane. We got plenty here. I can't wait to hear all these. You got his thoughts on Abdul Carter and maybe the injury risk.
Yeah, we have that meeting tomorrow with Ronnie and his crew, so... We'll have some more information. We've been in contact with, he was here on Friday. I think that was pretty well reported. So feels good. He's working out. He's running. Didn't even know he had it. You know, he went to the combine. It was news to him. So I don't think there's going to be much room for pause there.
Now, how about Travis Hunter?
Travis Hunter, who has said this week that he wants to play both positions. When you meet with the player, just how often do you discuss your fit? How you want them to fit in with you versus just kind of what they envision their fit is?
Yeah, the players ask us that all the time. You know, how do you see me fit with your organization? So Travis is a unique individual. You know, again, Dave said it at the owner's meeting. You got to watch a lot of plays on him. So he's fun to watch. It's unique that, you know, the ball skills, the route ability, and then also the ability to go the other side and, you know, play corner. Like, you just don't see that very often. You know, a lot of times, if these guys can't catch or they can't play receiver, then they get moved to DB. But, you know, this guy can do it all. So he's also, you know, he's a great kid. So it'd be hard to keep him off the field. And, you know, he's motivated to play both ways. So, you know, again, you always worried about the length of the season, you know, with the NFL 17 games and training camp. And you're just – if he gets hurt doing something that he's not doing full time, you know, you're going to kick yourself. But – He's a unique athlete that I think will be able to do both.
I would not have him. First of all, I wouldn't draft him. Second, I would not have him do both if I did draft him.
I don't know that you really can, honestly. And is he good enough to justify taking second or third if he's only doing one? I think he's going to be more of a corner than a receiver. I think there's a way, though, you could probably massage this and, you know, have him start his full-time corner. And then I said this to you the other day, like a sub-package, maybe... I don't know, 7-8, almost like honestly, I don't want to say necessarily a wildcat pack, but like the receiver version of whatever the wildcat might be. And you get him out there a little bit, goal line stuff or, you know, obvious passing situations. You could probably do that, but one thing I don't care, and maybe this would come back to haunt me, when he said, hey, if I'm not playing both ways, I'm not coming. Well, then we're going to have a stare down because if we draft you, you either play or you don't. I mean, I'm not going to listen. If I love the kid, I'm not going to listen to what he said and not draft him because I'm worried about him not wanting to play football.
I would draft him, and if I am, me personally, I would not draft him. But if I am going to draft him, I would draft him as either a receiver or a cornerback. And then in accordance with where I value that on the board, I think if the Browns take him at number two, they'd be making a huge mistake. I'm not knocking the player, but I would not just let him come in and say, yeah, I'm going to play both wide receiver and cornerback and take him at number two and pass on Abdul Carter in the process, which leads me to what I think is an interesting dilemma or an interesting point. If Carter goes number two and you're the Giants at number three, do you feel obligated to take Hunter? What if they don't like him? What if they don't want him to play both? I mean, you could read between the lines a little bit with Shane, where I think he's being respectful to Hunter saying he would do both. But also, if you're not playing him full-time at one position, to your point, like you're not going to have him be a wide receiver in a gimmick package and have him get hurt, then how do you live with that if you drafted this guy at number three to be an impact corner? I don't think the Giants could take Hunter at three. And then what? So then what do you do at three? Is that where they trade out?
I think they would take him. I'm not saying
you think they would? Okay. So you think they're taking Carter or Hunter?
I do. Yep.
I think they're taking Carter. I think they trade down if Hunter is there.
But
based off of what Shane just said and based off of what I believe to be the best football move.
Oh, okay, yeah, understood. I wonder how many teams would be willing to move up via trade to get Hunter versus Carter or the quarterback.
But maybe they would trade up to get, let's say Carter's off the board at number two.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily have to be Hunter at number three. Somebody could trade up for Hunter if they love him.
Yeah, that's true. It could be a quarterback too. It could be somebody. It could be Mason Graham. No, that's true. There could be other guys too.
Now, that's a weird spot for the Giants because if they truly don't like the quarterback, Sanders, let's just say in this case, they don't like him early there, which seems to be obvious, and they don't love Hunter, all their eggs are in Carter, and Carter's not there, what do you do?
At that point?
Now, again, maybe they love Hunter. I don't know. I'm just going based off of what I heard right there. You're drafting value. You're trying to trade down. I mean,
would you go offensive line? You're not taking Graham because you have that.
I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe
I think you're open. Listen, I think the Giants should be open to anything. Again, I'm not taking Sanders, but if that phone rings, I'm picking up. You're gonna pick up anyway.
And you would take Hunter at three?
I would. No, I think they'll take Hunter at three. I would not take Hunter at three. I would be more aggressively looking to trade out and then maybe go offensive line.
I think so, too, which is why I think they might be in line with us if Carter is taken by the Browns.
Number two, yeah.
All right, let's listen to one more here. We have, why not? Let's listen to number seven there, Hoff, with Shane talking again about Hunter's primary position.
We're in a unique position that, you know, we have three good receivers, and, you know, we like our secondary right now, so that'd be our situation will be unique. So, we're not afraid to play him on both sides of the ball.
They're not taking Hunter. I mean,
but would he show his hand that much? Again, we're trying to read into this nine layers deep. I get it. We like our secondary. We got three good receivers. I mean, if that's the case, then you do take him at number three. The first question would be, hey, Joe, I thought you liked your secondary and you have three good receivers. Why wouldn't you take something else where you need some help?
Now, to be fair to him, he was answering the question of what he thinks the primary position would be.
Yeah.
So saying that if the Giants did take him, he could play either for us. That to me sounds like you're not taking him because you just laid it out. If you feel you're good at wide receiver and you just took a wide receiver early last year in the first round and you feel like you're good at corner and they do have good young cornerbacks, I don't care if you're drafting best player available or not. If it's not a need, you cannot justify taking a player who does both of those things. You cannot at number three.
I wouldn't take him at three. There's no way. I would not.
I wouldn't do it anyway, but especially if he's not a need for them.
What if they didn't have neighbors last year? What if the
different
Giants?
Story.
Okay,
I think it's a different.
Then you're open to it.
Okay,
there.
But now you get back to what I would have done. Let's say I would have taken whoever. Pick a quarterback. McCarthy, I would have liked Penix myself. Mm-hmm. Penix, McCarthy, Bo Nix. Let's say they did that then, and now you might be in a position to take a top wide receiver, whether you think it's Hunter or somebody else, but that's the point. And now they already made their choice with the wide receiver. There's no way you could justify take. I wouldn't anyway. I mean,
we went through this. I would say the only way you can just, and I liked it. I think Neighbor's going to be great. You can make the case that any receiver that they would take where they are, no receiver's going to three, but I don't know. Is there going to be a receiver in the top 10, 12, 13 this year that's absolutely better than Malik Neighbors? I say no. And so right there, that is a more favorable return than based on doing different things a year ago.
Either way, you can't do it.
You're not going to go receiver back to back, even though he plays corner as well.
I wouldn't think so.
Quick. True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Before we get back to the Joe Shane stuff here, so Albert Breer, who's very piped in the NFL, he just he had a report, pretty good story on CBSSports.com. I want to read a couple of things. Quote, I'm having a really hard time finding coaches or scouts who believe Sanders is a first-round talent, Breer wrote this week. By the way, this is separate from any issues anybody has with his personality. Those questions exist, but lots of teams have made exceptions in that department in the past to take on guys with special talents. The problem seems to be that too many folks think Sanders lacks those type of gifts. Then you go down and whatever. More quotes. Quote, I've had more than one person say to me that if Sanders goes in the first round, it'll be because solely an owner got involved. Now, that, of course, is a bit of a guess from a few guys who were glued and clued into Sanders, how he's viewed, but it's also a bit of a window into the way evaluators are looking at the Colorado star, end quote. So you factor that and the decision by the Sanders family to bypass the green room. He's not going. I know you saw that. He's not going.
I didn't see that.
Nope. He said, I'm good. I'm going to stay at home. Now, is he just want to be at home, or does he want to not have the embarrassment and then put quotas around embarrassment?
Think?
I think what I would do is, that's a tough one. You get one chance to walk across the stage to shake the commissioner's hand.
You would go?
I'm doing it. And I would make sure the most important people in my life are there. But I also understand why some people want to be, I also happen to have a very small family. So I could do it where I could get them there. The point is, though, the fact that he's not going to the green room, this report, some other smoke, the thoughts that he's going to drop, maybe the Steelers at 21, he might plummet, man.
Yeah, maybe the Steelers don't even want him at 21, so who knows? To the point where some people are saying maybe the Giants could get him in the second round. But my thought on that would be, if you don't want him with the first pick, then why would you want him? You either want him or you don't. I'm not saying that you go nuts to destroy value. Like, you're not taking somebody that is expected to go in the third round with a third pick overall. Mm-hmm. But a player like this, when you really don't know, you could assume, you could go based off of some of these reports. It could also be smoke screens. Who knows? Maybe the Saints take him at 9. Maybe somebody trades up ahead of you in the first round, back end of the first round. You just don't know. If you like the player enough, you would take him early. The Browns did this years ago with Manziel.
Yeah, they took him definitely early. Yeah.
I forget who was the first player that they took. Was it the cornerback?
I think it was Denzel Ward.
Yeah,
I believe. Okay. Number 4, I believe they took him for Johnny 11,
And did they trade back or they ended up taking Manziel?
Dallas almost took Johnny Manziel.
Right.
And then the war room won out and they took the offensive lineman.
It was just, I don't remember the exact thing, but I remember people speculating, Browns need a quarterback, they should take Manziel. They didn't with the first pick, but ended up getting him with the second chance.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that didn't work out for many reasons, but if your gut is telling you that the guy's not a quarterback, especially if he's not good enough to take with your first pick,
yep,
probably not good enough to take with your second pick. Who, Manziel went 22nd?
Was that late? Yeah, but Denzel Ward was 4.
4,
right?
I believe you're right with that. Yeah, okay. So they had the cornerback first.
Okay.
Now, again, I'm not going away from value. I totally understand that.
Yep.
But you're running a risk and you're letting the risk go, meaning like, hey, we could live without him because let any other team take him after we make our third selection. If he happens to be there, wouldn't you think that that's kind of, you're taking a player that you don't love?
A little bit, but not quite as much as you, because it's not just about the talent. You got to factor in the money. You know, so listen, let's say if the Jets would have taken Zach Wilson with the first pick like the Dolphins did. Was it the Dolphins? Who took Drew Brees originally? Dolphins, right? Dolphins, yeah, before he went to the Saints. Chargers, I knew that didn't. The Chargers, then he got hurt, then he went to the Saints. So if Zach was taken
right,
first...
he was going to go to the Dolphins or the
that's
Saints.
That's what it was. Yeah. And he got hurt, remember, he hurt his shoulder.
Matter of fact, the Dolphins should have taken him. Because I remember my buddy Vince, a big Dolphin fan, and for years they'd be like, you idiots, you passed. I think they had the 25th pick or whatever.
Uh-huh.
They could have had Drew Brees and they didn't. So I always
agree.
And
they passed.
With yeah.
All right, so let's just say, though, the evaluation of Zach would be different. I'm just picking Zach because it's fairly recent. If he went first or second pick of round two versus second overall, number one, the groans as he found his footing, if he ever did, would have been much more subdued. The pressure would have been lower, and the financial commitment would have been one third, if not less, of the price that you had to pay Zach as a second overall pick in the 5th year option. So, yeah, I know what you mean. Like when you say, "Well, if you don't love him as a player, why would you take him?" I am much more risk averse when I have much less money to lose.
Or much less risk, meaning you're not going to risk a third pick or a 7th pick as it pertains to the Jets. But if it were late first round or early second round, different
story. Kick the tires.
Yeah, but for me, it's just, which I understand, but it's just about the player. I don't think he's going to fall that far. I would be surprised if
he's not going to round 2. I'm with you. He's not going to round 2.
I mean, come on.
No way.
You tell me the second best quarterback consensus in the draft, whether it's a weak quarterback draft or not.
Well, Geno fell to round 2. Remember Geno?
I don't remember where he was projected.
Geno, there was a thought that Geno Smith out of West Virginia, Zoo went to West Virginia, was going to be the first overall pick. And then you had some people weighing in, some character assassinations. There was a very good article in SI. I remember reading because I was actually looking right before I had back surgery, and I remember I had time in the waiting room and I read every word, and I really liked Geno, and I thought the Jets could take him, and they wound up taking him in round 2. So I think that it's, as I said, he's not falling to round 2. I mean, anything is possible, but I think, unlike Geno, I think the Sanders name alone, and he is a talented kid. The Sanders name alone gets him somewhere in the 20s. He's not dropping around 2.
I would be stunned if that were the case. All right, let's listen to another one from Joe Shane here talking about trading assets to move around in the draft and pass rushers.
Usually if you're going to, it depends. Like if you're looking long term, it's, you know, you got to make sure it's a player that you really like. If you're talking about trading future assets. But yeah, we take all that into account.
Joe, when you look at a player like Abdul Carter who made a position switch this year, does that, you know, set up ideas for you as to where he might fit in? Is there such a thing as too many pass rushers in your mind?
I don't think so. I mean, everybody watched the Super Bowl, right? Philly rushed with how many? 4 the whole game? So that's one way to do it. So, yeah, I mean, if you think about any of these players, may or may not be in the mix, as a unique player like him that played off the ball for 2 years, then has only played one season, off the edge. And, you know, had a really good season. You know, then you got Kayvon and you got Burns, you got Dex inside. He gives you a lot of options. You know, he's a versatile player. He's young, just, you know, he's 21 years old, and you know, exciting player to watch. But yeah, you can't have enough pass rushers.
Okay, how about one more, BT? Well, two more here before we break on the strategy. Joe Shane's strategy on the draft board.
Still in the information gathering process. I mean, again, I always tell my guys, when we look at our board or free agency or values, that, you know, we assume everybody sees it like us, and that's not always the case. So, still gathering information. I mean, there's rumors of what teams may or may not do, but you know, what we can control is, hey, come up with three players we're happy with, and rank those guys. And if they don't go in that order, they go in a different order, knowing who we like best of those three players. And you know, that's what we can control. But yeah, still. You know, there's still the rumor mill. It's that time of year. It's, you know, rumors everywhere. So have somewhat of a sense that I think will happen, but, you know, I obviously don't know that for a fact. We have a horizontal board, which is, you know, it's quarterback, running back, you know, all the way across, offense versus defense. And then we do a vertical stack. So that's where we just did it this past weekend with the scouts. They just left last night. Actually this morning the scouts left, but we finished up our meetings last night, and that's where you get into the, you know, the hard conversations, because if these two players are there, which is a reality, like they may be there, who are we going to take and why? So there's a lot of respectful debates in the draft room when it comes down to, and a lot of times it's two good players or two players we really like. That's where there's discrepancies in the room, and ultimately I'm tasked with making the final decision. But, you know, we'll phone in the coaches and, you know, get their opinion if those guys are there, or if it's two positions and we love both players, which position, you know, best helps the New York Giants. Like, we love both players, it's the same value, you know, who's going to help us the best. So, you know, it's a collaborative process. You know, scouts do a great job. They're on the road 150 days a year, and they know these players inside and out. And then we bring the coaches in and get their opinion. And if there's discrepancies, which that's what this week and early in the next week is, we'll work through, or we'll get the film and watch it together, and okay, let me see if we can see what you see, or, you know, we try to coerce them into, you know, seeing them how we like them. So it's a good process. It's a good group of people, a lot of good professionals, and, you know, the collaboration, the communication is very good.
Yeah, and there's a lot that goes into it. We always focus on Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, but man, you saw a little bit of it with Hard Knocks, and we understand that it's not just one person making these decisions. But still, there's a lot of analyzing and, you know, opinions and back and forth that goes into these selections, and they have to hit. I mean, ultimately, guys are you know, Joe Shane's going to be judged on these decisions, even though it's not just him, it's him and his entire staff.
But what do you think is the separating factor between teams that consistently get drafts right and those who consistently get it wrong?
Great question. I don't know, because I would just go based off of what I think is successful. And I would say having you hire the guy for the reason that you believe he knows what he's doing, and have that person know who to trust, but also make decisive, definitive decisions on what he believes in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, because there could be a collaborative effort, and it could be like, all right, I'll lean on my scout in this particular case. And the scout could be wrong. I'm not saying that you also lean on the scout, they could be right. But at some point, somebody's got to have conviction in their core beliefs, surround themselves with those similar core beliefs, while being open-minded to a certain extent, also stick to what you believe in and be decisive and definitive. To me, that's the only way, because the...
Yeah, yeah. If you try to placate the room, it just gets wishy-washy, and nobody... You might not be... And by the way, there's the arguments. There are knockdown arguments. When you stand up for a player that you've scouted for 5 months, I mean, talk to the parents, talk to the principal, talk to the girlfriend, talk to whatever, the church or whatever it might be, and, you know, basically somebody in your organization is saying, nah, this guy's not good, this young man's not good for us, and you've got this emotional investment in this player, that's tough to take, because you don't have the final say, so the sell job gets very, very loud. I don't know the answer to the question that I just asked you, but I'm pretty sure that it's not because Team X knows football better than Team
right,
Y.
Right.
I'm going to start with that. Sal, I think it's something as simple, and this has been so evasive for the Jets, more for the Jets, but also recently for the Giants, but historically for the Jets, is I think that the infrastructure within the organization, to me, when I asked you, like, what separates a good team that drafts well, that doesn't, it's partially about scouting, but it's more about when you get that player in the building, How do you insulate them? And how do you coach them up? I think if you have good coaching, I think players look better. Why do you think Sam Darnold looked better in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Because the Jets' coaching was a train wreck, and Minnesota's got one of the brilliant offensive minds in football,
right.
O'Connell.
Well, really, there's multiple parts to it. I was looking at it more from the front office aspect, but it's all together.
Yeah,
front,
I think it ties in. That's
right,
what I'm
so
saying.
So the front office, and I was going to say another big part of that would be knowing when, like as the lead guy, knowing when to trust the others. If you come to me with conviction saying, dude, look, I know you got your core principles. I know you like this guy. You've got to take this player. And then knowing when to trust whoever it is that's telling you that. But yes, also how it's going to fit. Which is why, again, you're getting the coaching staff involved into all this. It's not just the scouts and
Joe's
staff. It's all
the owners.
How he's
going
to fit into what you want to do. Is what you want to do the right thing?
Yeah.
Is it not only the right thing? Is it the right thing for this player? There's
One more thing too. I think stability. You think about this. Remember, McCagnan actually drafted everybody, and then Joe Douglas didn't even draft the first draft. So you have teams that just consistently, fire and recycle coaches and GMs. Not only is there a lack of continuity on the staff, clearly, but the entire building changes because generally, now sometimes some scouts will stay, some highly valued scouts will stay with new regimes, but generally there's a complete turnover. The Northeast director, the West Coast director, cross check or scouting. If you have a stability like the Chiefs with Andy Reid, maybe some guys leave to take higher jobs in other organizations. But the room is kind of the same.
The foundation's in place.
Yeah, and that cohesion and that consistency generally leads to good decisions.
Which is also then why the Giants should be more patient with Shane and Dable. Now, again, we said at the end of last year they had to make a decision. It was either get rid of those two or keep them long term. If it's just about this season, to me, that's the wrong thing. If you're telling me that you believe in them, they're your guys, that means that keep this intact and see what happens 2-3 years from now. But again, you could be wasting a half a decade if these guys aren't the right
guys.
As
we have.
We'll come back, finish up on the phones. We'll hear some more from Joe Shane as well. And I do want to get to a Knicks thing before we say goodbye, BT.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Call of the day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Frank is in Kings Point. What's up, Frank?
I have to say, I usually agree with both you guys, or at least one of you, but BT.
Yeah.
Justin Fields stinks, bro. I don't know why everybody's so afraid to come out and say, if he had anything left, Mike Tomlin would have kept him. The guy hasn't had a winning season since he's been in the NFL. He stinks.
Frank.
I don't know where you get off saying, oh, he's a serviceable quarterback. Well, you wouldn't rather have Shedeur Sanders than Justin Fields? You're crazy.
No, not at the price tag, Frank. Frank, think about this. So, number one, the Steelers wanted Justin Fields back. Number two, he played pretty well last year, man. And he's young enough and he's cheap enough where, at the very least, to me, he's interesting. You don't agree?
He played pretty well. He wasn't even the starter.
He had 10 touchdowns and one pick, Frank.
Come on, bro. Let me tell you something. There's no failure in trying. The only failure is not having tried. You got to get Sanders. You have a shot at him. You have to try.
Yeah, but Frank,
this is going to be another colossal f***ing mistake.
Whoa. Hey, geez. Whoa, Frankie boy.
Frank.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Frank, all right, so.
I like the passion there, Frank.
I do, too. I did
that. That was awesome. See, that to me is where it's fun, where Frank got fired up, wasn't offended by you or me. You can argue, disagree.
He fits right in with us.
Yeah, exactly right. Just can't say certain things on the air. I had to bleep that out there. All right, let's get back to the phones real quick, BT, because Mario's been holding for a while talking about the Giants draft strategy. Then we'll hear more from Joe Shane. Mario's in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Yeah, that was funny, the last call. But you're 100% right. You can't do it. There's no way you're immediately going to say Sanders better than Fields. Do you understand? Fields rushed for 1,300 yards. That's second most of all.
He's
got a record there. So he's not a. You can't compare the two. It's impossible.
Not yet, anyway.
But we were saying who has more. Go ahead, Mary. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The problem here is there's mixed messages, right? If they're going to tell Shane Dable you got to win now, they can't draft a quarterback early. If they do, they're not going to win now.
Well, that's kind of what we've been saying. I mean, that is the dilemma that only really John Mara, Shane, and Dable know the answer to.
But based on their actions, I think that they're trying to do both. I don't know if there's a mandate to win now. I would assume there's a mandate to be respectable.
I would agree with that.
Right?
Respectable, not to win.
Correct. Respectable.
Yep.
Go out there, compete.
Yeah.
Not be an embarrassment the way that they've been the last couple of seasons. I'm not even sure that they could achieve that, but either way, they believe that they can maybe with the quarterback room, but the mandate to win now or a mandate to find the franchise quarterback. Although Mara did say, I think it's important we get a quarterback. Now, maybe he's satisfied with Russell Wilson. It sounds like Joe Shane is.
Oh, God. Are we going to have to see Ciara in the sweet only shot? I mean, if he's playing well, yeah, great. If not, and he's getting those shots, you know, Eagles 20. Well, I hear you.
I'm just saying. I think I'd rather watch Ciara in the
Russell Wilson play quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, now I was a big Russell Wilson fan.
Yeah. No, I was too. And then he just, the whole Mr. Unlimited just became corny. I'm like, this guy's a nerd.
Shane talked about him being a leader, though. All right, let's hear a couple more on Shane, BT, because we got a few minutes left. There's a lot we got to squeeze in here. Shane talking about, does everybody need to agree on a quarterback in the organization?
Yeah, no, ultimately, decision falls on me. So you go through the whole process, and there are discrepancies. I mean, there's been discrepancies in all different rounds, all different positions, and many a drafts. And ultimately, you know, final say typically goes with the general manager. So, you know, ultimately, if there's a discrepancy, and at the end of the day, I'm convicted, you know, that's the decision has to be made. So, you know, that's how we do it.
And then the last one on the number three spot specifically for Joe Shane.
Yeah, we'll be open to all options. I mean, those type of strategy sessions have been ongoing and, you know, talking through different scenarios. So, yeah, we're always going to be open to, you know, either or of those scenarios.
Have you received a lot of interest from teams looking to trade up?
We've received some calls. Yeah, we've received some calls.
You obviously don't want to be picking a three in the future. In this position, do you feel you can't miss on a player at this point? I mean, pretty much a lot of rankings have Cam Ward going one. You have Alvin Carter, you have Travis Hunter. I mean, that seems to be a pretty consensus 1-2-3. You may differ with that, I don't know. But, I mean, do you think at number three, if you just sit there and you say we have top three players ranked, whoever is there, you feel like it's almost as much of a can't-miss player as possible in a draft?
We like our options. We like who will be there.
As a GS, this is your fourth draft, right? You haven't had the chance to put in the cart for a quarterback yet. Is that an itch? Is that something that GMs, you want to do?
Where we are, yeah. I mean, it's you'd like to have, a young franchise quarterback. I think every general manager would be. Everybody wants that. But the value has to be right, or it doesn't matter. I mean, you get that one wrong, you just got to get that right. So when you're in a position to get the right one at the right time, that's when you pull the trigger.
You get that one wrong, otherwise you're toast, which is why Joe Shane hasn't done it. He doesn't want to pull the trigger on a quarterback. That bothers me, that last comment. Now, he did seem to be happy with wherever they're going to be at with number three. I don't know if I'd buy that, though, BT.
I do a little bit because I see the options pretty clear, and I don't know for sure that Travis Hunter goes two to the Browns, but if he does, I love Carter at three. That's the home run pick. If Carter goes two, I wouldn't take Travis Hunter at three, but I think that they might, and I think that they would, and I think they would be very happy with that. I also think they're going to have ample opportunities to trade out, and I think that that could be fruitful. So, listen, when I say the Giants are in a good place, I don't mean in terms of the last couple of years, their overall record, the talent, the lack of a quarterback in terms of somebody that you know is going to be here for a while. But specific to this draft and getting a good player at three or slightly below if you trade out, I think they're going to get a really good player.
I don't believe there's any way that they draft either Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter at number three. Now,
I don't think they're taking him.
Who?
Sanders.
No. Or Hunter. I don't think they're taking Hunter at three.
So you say I'm going to leave the door much more open for Hunter, but differentiate between what I would do versus what they could do.
Right. I do not believe that they are going to take Travis Hunter. They will have many options. I'm just using... Now, you could say that that's their maybe third-ranked player, and they feel good about that. Not only would I hope that they would be smart enough to not take Hunter, it would be a disaster if they selected Travis Hunter there.
I can't say that. He's got talent. Disaster is strong.
I don't see how that's making the team better when you're already talking about your strength being at wide receiver and cornerback.
What if it becomes an all-pro corner? And then, he's got, 7-8 plays a week where he's ripping off a 25-yard catch or run. I mean...
Plus, he wants to do both. He's already,
Yeah, that's the part I'm not too worried about, though. Yeah, I hear you. You've got to be comfortable. That's the aspect that could be a disaster.
All right. Last one. This will set up the show for tomorrow because we haven't done much Knicks stuff here.
Yeah.
Wally Szczerbiak said that they're going to learn a lot about the interior of this locker room in this Knicks-Pistons series quick. Saying the talent's there, they should blow out the Detroit team when you go player for player. If they don't dominate this series, there's something going on in that locker room that isn't right. That's a quote from Wally Szczerbiak. And I do believe that he's saying that based on something he knows.
Yep.
And you could see the seeds. Josh Hart was calling out the team earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a telling quote from somebody who's in the building.
And it's not a sensationalist, by the way. Wally is, I think he's great. I think he's pretty honest. I think he's enthusiastic. Like when the Knicks do well, like to me, he's a really good balance of letting you know when things aren't right, but he enjoys the ride, which is what I wanted to consume. I like Wally. I like him on College Hoops as well. I thought the same thing, man. This is such a bizarre statement. If something wasn't truly going on behind the scenes,